Sox Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step. Busy one for you today. Yannick Hansen will return to his normal spot on Canuck Central for a Friday analyst check-in. And we'll get you ready for the Canucks and Columbus Blue Jackets. Another must win for the Vancouver Canucks, Sat.
Yeah, there is no room for error. Like none.
And because, you know, the Blues won again last
The Blues night. Won, yeah. And I guess you told us, Dan.
So I'm greeted with this text as we get into the studio today from Sean. Uh-huh. Hey, Reach. Hope you are served an undercooked dish of pasta this weekend as punishment for your purposely jinxing the Predators yesterday when they were up 2-2 on the Blues. Genuinely upset with you for your carelessness. Smack him, Sat, please, for all of us. What would I give to smack Dan just once today? Oh, wow.
Wow.
I didn't know, as Josh coined me today on Canucks Brunch, Dan Jinxio had such a powerful impact on Canucks Nation last night.
Get him, Sean. I like that. You know, getting after you. I told you, like, as soon as you said it, I'm like, Reach.
And
I don't even care about jinxes, but I'm like, man.
That's the least superstitious person around.
And I'm like, man, like, because I knew it's the Preds. They're probably going to lose. And you're going to take the moment, and everyone's going to turn and call you a jinx afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
For those that missed it, let's turn back the clock. What happened yesterday?
The Preds being up 2-0 on the Blues, baby.
Oh, well, I mean, 7-game win streak had to come to an end at some point.
What are you doing?
What have I done?
Reach, what's wrong with you?
It's the first period.
I don't even believe in jinxes, and I felt like that was wrong.
Oh, it's not like Nashville's ever blown a lead this year or anything.
Here's a shot, and it gets Prensos. Holloway has cut the lead in half. It's snuck through. He's got an open man foul. And he scores! The Blues have tied it. Centers looking for Kyrou. It's that Holloway, and he gives him the lead. And Nashville gets bit. Something that has plagued them. The lapses where they give up goals in bunches. This is going to be a win for the Blues.
Yeah. Are we sure the Nashville Predators announcers are not Canucks fans? That was amazing.
That was really funny.
Oh my God, I'm out of breath. I'm laughing so hard.
Good job, Reach.
Even the first goal, it snuck through. Like,
They weren't even excited.
Yeah, you don't even need to see the goal. You know that one was bad.
And man.
Nashville got bit. Oh, wow. Yes, certainly did. That Predator got bit. It was not the Predator. It was the Prey.
It was the Prey. Yeah, it certainly was. And it's so funny because the Blues weren't even that great in that game. And then in the third, they just kind of turned up for a few minutes. And the next thing you know, and you see the Preds like almost tied the game up too. Like in the last second, Marchessault scored, but the clock had just ran out. The Preds thought they actually tied it. So for a moment, you're like, okay, it's going to overtime. But no.
$20 if you slap him. Ray from Campbell River.
Dan Bluccio.
Yeah.
Bluccio.
Jordan in the Ridge. Reach, you must not bet because that's the number one rule, my friend. I'm just mainly making a play here on the Predators because they've been that bad this year.
Yeah, they've been pretty bad.
So Dan Jinxio, that's what we're calling it now, I guess.
Yeah, you are Dan Jinxio. So please don't say anything about tonight's game.
Okay. I won't.
Just.
It's a must win. That's all I've said.
Don't ruin it for people.
Okay. So like if the Canucks go up two.
Just.
Don't
just
say anything.
Just leave it. Just leave it.
All right. I won't. It's time for the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Oh! That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the Open on Canuck Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. Latest is Canucks getting ready for the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight in CBUS as both teams need wins. Both teams are desperate. Both teams are on the outside of the playoff picture looking in. It is not quite as dire for Columbus as it is for the Vancouver Canucks, as Columbus with Montreal's loss last night still remains 2 points out of a playoff spot. But with the win that St. Louis had last night, the Canucks remain 5 points back of the Blues, though with a game in hand.
Yeah, but you know, the good thing was that the Flames lost.
Mm-hmm.
So at least with the Flames, they have the same win percentage now.
Yes, but the Flames, they're behind the Canucks technically right now.
Yes, but they have the same. They are, but they have the same win percentage, and they have a game in hand. If they win their game in hand, they go above Vancouver.
I'm not worried about the Flames. You got to catch the Blues.
No, I get it, but I'm just saying.
Like, the Blues got to go 4-4 now to get to 93 points. So,
yeah, but I'm just saying.
Thanks to Dan Ginxio, of course. Yeah.
See, Dan Glass Half Fullio, trying to give a positive here about the Flames losing. I was like, it doesn't matter.
Well, the Flames lost. Yes, Minnesota won though, Sat. So
yeah, they did. Against the Capitals, too, of all teams.
It came back. So that's pretty much the latest. Kevin Lankinen's going to start for the Canucks. Game time decision, I guess, for Teddy Bluger, as he's dealing with the flu. It seems like a Canuck has been dealing with the flu for the last 2 months of some kind. And Kevin Lankinen will start. Max Sasson was called up from Abbotsford, so it is plausible that the Canucks have, what, 7 Abbotsford Canucks in the lineup tonight against Columbus?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Abbotsford Canucks, Abbey Canucks.
It would be, it's a lot. Atu Ratu, Linus Karlsson, Nils Åman, Jonathan Lekkerimäki, Elias Pettersson could be in the lineup as well. And of course, Victor Mancini, though maybe one of those two is not expected to be in the lineup.
So it'll be like 6.
Yeah.
But what if they play one of them?
There are 7 on the roster. Yeah. 6 could be in the lineup tonight.
You play a DPD up top, see the speed, get him in on the forecheck.
He does have some speed to him.
Yeah,
he's got some legs.
He's one of the
highest speeds of all defensemen in the National Hockey League this year. So there's Dan Glass half Fullio.
There we go. One positive.
Right, yeah, there we go.
There we go. Took like 7 minutes.
Speaking of, you know, the development of some of these players has been impressive. And hey, you know, we know Lekkerimäki and Volander are 2 impact prospects, but the Canucks have done a really good job of building out other prospects that can credibly come up and play some games for you in the NHL and do have some promise if they continue on their current development path, which is not something they had coming up through the AHL in the years prior to Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin taking over. They've also, you know, through these couple of years in the front office, they've really improved the organizational strength on defense. And really that's where and what they're building around right now. Since they got Marcus Pettersson, of course they have some big holes to fill in the forward group, but having their defense pretty much settled for the first time, really, since they were a true cup contender almost 15 years ago now, Sat. Like, that's kind of what it feels like with the Canucks defense and the organizational depth chart.
Well, they do. And I think as far as additions go, maybe it's an extension to a guy like Derek Forbert.
Yeah.
But that might be the extent of it. Obviously, they might sign guys that are AHL types, you know, Willanen types to have in the organization. That might happen. Somebody that comes to try out to push these guys, so to speak. But that's the extent of the additions to the blue line that you're going to see here. The question is, do you start moving guys off the blue line? And the one guy we haven't even spoken about this year who was so high on the depth chart was Cole McWard.
Yeah.
And he's still part of the picture. And they're happy with how he's played. And not to say he's going to be a player or whatever, but they have some guys already coming depth-wise. The question just becomes, you're not going to have room for all these guys.
No.
So you already have Hughes, Hronek, and hopefully Hughes signed very long-term, right? And then you have Pettersson. Now, Myers for 2 more years. And then you have Willander, DPD, Mancini, Kudryavtsev, Mignot, McWard.
Yeah.
You don't have space for all of them.
No.
You need depth, of course, right?
Some of these guys are going to get disgruntled for not getting an NHL chance at some point.
Yeah, and now that puts you in a surplus position.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if you're looking to improve your... Not only is the organizational strength the blue line, not only is the depth really solid, and not only are they pretty much set for next season, it's also probably the key to improving their team.
Yeah. The key to improving via trade, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's the organizational surplus that they have, certainly on the left side of defense now.
Yeah.
You think about signing Marcus Pettersson after you acquired him from Pittsburgh. And so your top 2 are settled for the next couple of years. And, you know, sure, if DPD or one of those guys graduates and knocks Marcus Pettersson down the depth chart, you'll deal with that when that situation comes. But ultimately, two of your three spots on the left side are pretty much filled out.
Yeah.
So to a certain extent, that does create an organizational barrier for players coming up through to potentially play in that area of your roster. And that's where you have your best prospects happens to be on the left side, or you have a good amount,
yeah,
right? With DPD now being pretty much an NHL player. Kirill Kudryavtsev, yeah, who's been, you know, incredible as a seventh round find and really looks like he's going to have at least play, have the ability to play NHL games at some point in his career. And Sawyer Mignot, who, I mean, he definitely looks the part even though he's still playing junior hockey.
Yeah, and the hope with him is that this isn't the peak of his value. He's very well thought of, made the World Junior team. Now, that wasn't a big part of that team, but he made the World Junior team. And obviously, a player that has talent, has had a really good year. You hope that he continues that progression, but he's still years away. You're talking about a guy that's 2 or 3 years away. Like, I'm very happy holding on to Mignot. Like, and I'm not even sure that his value is necessarily that high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like,
I mean, he was a third round pick. He was kind of a depth piece, essentially, on Canada's World Junior team this past year.
Yeah, like, he's probably more valuable than Fernstrom was.
Yeah.
But even him, like, he was considered, like, a valuable piece of that trade for the Penguins to in the Marcus Pettersson-Drew O'Connor deal, right?
Ultimately, the defenseman that most teams are going to covet if they go into a conversation with the Vancouver Canucks is Tom Volander.
He's going to be the first ask, always. Yeah. And he has been. And I'm not sure the Canucks have grown. I'm not sure if the Canucks have grown tired of it, but I'm sure they've grown tired of saying he's not available or, yeah, not. We're not doing that. And on the right side, for a long time, like, it seemed like you needed him desperately, and I still think you do long term, because Myers is in his 30s, right? Like, late 30s now. And
you want Myers, like, at some point over these next 2 years, he's going to be handing it off.
Yes.
To either Victor Mancini or Tom Volander.
Yeah, and as good as Mancini is, what if he's a third pair guy? You really need somebody else, like, that's a difference maker.
Yeah,
and if he hits his potential, like, he's the exact number three defenseman this team needs.
Yeah,
can play it a big role on your PK, can play a shutdown role,
skates really well, can move the puck pretty good.
Yeah, and can give you enough offensively at the very least, right? But if he's excellent defensively.
Yeah.
And he brings that speed and pace and that puck rushing ability, you know, zone exits, zone entries, and just through the neutral zone, all the intangibles that provides the team. That's a big piece to give up.
Yeah.
On the left side, though, and you mentioned he hit the top speed, 23.7 miles per hour or, yeah, whatever it was, right? And I'm sure he's impressed a lot of people around the league, is Elias Pettersson.
Yeah.
With Kudryavtsev, with even, you know, Mignot in the future, and the fact you're talking about ultimately a third pair position, like a third pair left-handed defenseman, because you have Hughes, plays massive minutes anyways.
Yeah.
You have Pettersson, who you paid a big contract, who's going to play a shutdown role, plays big minutes. It limits how many minutes your left-hand defenseman on a third pair can play.
Yeah.
And it's not short-term, it's long-term.
Yeah.
Is DPD almost surplus to requirements in some sense? Like, is he almost too good for what he is, and is he best utilized in trade? That's going to be what you have to make a decision on organizationally, because you can obviously argue holding on to him and keeping him and having an incredible left-handed decor.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we talk about making your team better. If you had to choose between DPD and Verlander, who would you choose ultimately? Verlander?
I would keep Verlander. Look, I like DPD a lot, but his size, the way that he's already graduated to the NHL level, you know, these are things that make him a more valued and a better trade chip if you're going down that road tonight. But this is something, but not only from a trade perspective, this is probably where the Canucks have built out enough of a surplus to be able to deal from this area in order to upgrade their forward group. But since they've upgraded the defense, the team has played a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that they control play a lot better. They control play better without Hughes on the ice now that they have a more well-rounded defense than they did before Quinn Hughes left the lineup. It's very obvious when you look at their numbers that things have changed a little bit. Now, they're still not a juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination, but they are starting to control the chances on the ice, control more of the play on the ice. They're not getting incredibly outshot every night in the way that they were. They don't get hemmed in their own end as often as they did when Hughes isn't on the ice. Like, they're a more credible team. They're a team that, okay, they're not like tilting the ice to an extraordinary level when Hughes isn't on the ice, but, you know, they're making a game of it when Hughes isn't on the ice. And that wasn't really the case for the first half of the season.
No, not at all. And you have real stability.
Yeah.
And you have young players now pushing that are giving you some really nice moments. Like, there are things that Mancini has done that are things that Juulsen wasn't capable of. Friedman wasn't capable of, right?
Juulsen would try sometimes.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't work out that well.
And this is why you see how good a guy like Derek Forbort is. And in a few years ago, he could play even a bigger role because he can make that play.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do it very often, but if he has to make a play, if he has time and space, he's talented enough to make a really good play. That's what Mancini can do. That's what DPD can do, right? And that's a really nice quality to have. And that to me means you're at the very least going to be a really strong third pair defenseman.
Yeah.
You'd be above that, and that's going to be, you know, time's going to determine, but there's some really nice qualities all those guys bring. So even down your lineup, you're getting that push now, which you weren't getting before. And to your point about Marcus Pettersson, I do think at times, I don't love his defensive play. Like, there have been some moments where I want him to be a little bit stronger when he handles guys, and I think he can make some better decisions. But at the same time, like, it's a new team still and all that, but he's still made the PK a lot better.
Yep.
He has generally been a really good defensively for this team. And then Hronek, when he's healthy, has just been stellar.
Yeah. Hronek, even in non-Hughes minutes, has been really good.
And I know we get the text all the time, and this one here says, trade Myers is the obvious thing. And yeah, I mean, ultimately, you can't rely on him. He's not a long-term solution. Whether you keep him or not, like, it's two more years, right? And
Myers
that's
is a stopgap.
Yeah, 100%, right? But he's played really well this year. He's had some moments, like, and, you know, that's the chaos in his game. But generally speaking, he's been really good. Like, that's been the unfortunate part of this year. They've had a really strong blue line, and they've strengthened it.
Yeah.
If they could actually have a nice forward group with the goaltending they have.
Yeah, it's one of those things. You're kind of, when you traded Miller, you were robbing Peter to pay Paul, and now you're you're trying to get back what you had in the forward group. But that's going to be at times it feels like an impossible task unless you really look inward and decide we're going to trade one of our big pieces in order to make that possible. Owen and Burnaby, to me, DPD is untouchable at this point. Guys with his skill set don't come around often. Mm-hmm. He's physical and skates really well. To me, Mancini and Mignot are more expendable. Owen and Burnaby, you make great points. I think it's unfortunately, you know, that's the way other NHL teams are going to view it as well.
Yeah.
Like, Mancini and Sawyer Mignot just aren't getting you probably the same quality of player that DPD might be able to get back for you right now.
Yeah, and this text says you have to protect yourself as well in case Hughes goes.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have somebody. And to your point, all the other qualities he has, like, there's risk. Here's where the Canucks find themselves.
But if you don't improve your forward group, Hughes is going.
Right.
And you probably need one of these guys to improve your forward group.
The only thing that you could do outside of improving your team is selling him on the long-term vision.
Yeah.
He mentioned in that fabled ESPN clip.
Yes.
That
sat half, half full shot.
And Monriccio half glass full. Riccio's like, oh, he says two more years, he's gone. I'm like, well, he said he likes what's going on.
Yeah.
So he likes what's going on and what they're doing and building to some extent, right? Could you get him to buy in on, like, hey, look at DPD. We'll hold on to him. Like, we're going to keep these guys. Instead of going out and trading these guys, how about we keep these guys and give us a couple years and we'll get the forwards and we'll get there. But, like, our best path forward is being stable and holding on to our guys and being patient.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to buy that, though. I can't speak for him. I don't know. Maybe he does, right? Like, if you can do that, that's the best solution. Because I don't like to see the Canucks have to force themselves into doing something this offseason.
Yeah.
They seem like they have to, but I hope they don't. I don't want them to be in that position. I just don't know if that's likely. Can you sell Quinn on that type of vision? And does he see enough in these guys like Grimacki
Yeah.
Vilander, perhaps when he comes, DPD, Mancini, that, hey, how about we just hold on to our guys and build it from the ground up, so to speak?
Only Quinn Hughes knows the answer to that question. And it's probably still in the evaluation process to begin with. Quickly in the Canucks Central roundup, again, Kevin Lankinen starting for the Canucks. It was Thatcher Demko the last two. Probably didn't want to give Demko three straight starts. I think that's probably the right decision here, so it's good that Lankinen is back and ready to go. Hopefully he's got a better performance in him than the one he had last week against the New York Rangers. Max Sasson was recalled on emergency conditions today. Teddy Bluger is sick with the flu and is a game-time decision. And as for Tom Vilander, his Boston University Terriers will play tomorrow in their next game in the NCAA tournament against Cornell. Cornell upset Michigan State to advance. So BU's got a pretty good chance in this one, you might say. If they win, BU will continue on and get to the Frozen Four, which does not start until April 10th.
Yeah, so if they make it to the Frozen Four, you're probably not seeing Vilander play unless the Canucks are either clinched or out of it for the final game.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, kid, go and play.
Otherwise, because the Canucks season finishes, as we mentioned yesterday, April 16th.
Yeah.
There will be three games remaining when the Frozen Four finishes. Actually, two games remaining after the Frozen Four finishes if BU goes the whole way. So probably not. Unless the Canucks are really out of it, and also, like, is it make sense to get Vilander here in a day and then put him into a game? Like, it's going to be a lot, right?
If they get to the 10th,
yeah,
and they're out in the 10th, then you have 4 days until the 14th and 16th.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, a week to get him into one or two games, maybe.
You're going to want to get him into a practice. You're not just going to throw him into his first NHL game.
But if they get to the final,
yeah,
there's no way he's playing on the 14th.
Yeah. It's basically impossible.
Yeah, again, if they're completely out of it and the games don't matter,
yeah,
then maybe. But we're not talking about getting a big sample of Vilander here, unless they lose.
If they lose tomorrow, then you might get to see him for maybe the five games or so. Like,
but is he
like
playing?
We saw with.
So here's the thing: unless somebody gets injured, is he consistently getting into the lineup
Probably not.
Of DPD and Mancini?
Not in the depths of this playoff chase right now either.
So my point isn't to downplay him because go back to that draft year, man. I'm a big fan of the player, big fan of him being
Sat drafted. Was so hyped. I'm telling you.
And this was like in January we were
Everybody
talking about
Everybody was like,
him.
Zach Benson, Sat's like, no.
No, and we were talking about Vilander in like January about like, hey, here's a guy to really watch. Like, we were in on him very early, right? But you don't expect him to come in and, you know, dazzle you with this big performance over a big sample. Like, it's going to be very limited, especially now. Be more excited about next year, preseason, and kind of what he shows there.
JanPro, from waiting rooms to exam rooms and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit janpro.ca. Just want to shout out one text here. Unsigned. Hey, Dan, this is for jinxing the Blues losing yesterday, and it's a picture of a guy snapping pasta in half.
That's good.
That is the bane of my existence. Even if Rick Tocchet did it in that famed video. All right, Yannick Hansen's going to join us next, and we'll get you ready for the Columbus Blue Jackets to come. A 4 o'clock puck drop for the Canucks in CBUS tonight. Stan Riccio, Sat T.R. Shaw, you're listening to Canuck Central.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.